And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom. I am the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury. That book and the conversations that inspired that book are what inspired this podcast. And Lisa Goich, my friend and producer, is alongside as always. Inspired as usual, I hope.
I'm always inspired, but today I'm not inspired to go get a root canal that's happening in about an hour from now.
Yeah. Don't have much wisdom to share with you on that.
Get that? You made a tooth joke there. Did you realize that?
Have no wisdom for your teeth situation.
Have you ever had a root canal?
I have not.
Scary.
Yeah. I hear that they take a long time. They're very painful. And I've never known anybody who's ever looked forward to getting one, even if it's helped their health situation.
I'm going to tell you, it's barbaric. I would rather have four organs removed than get a root canal. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
It's my sixth one. My sixth
okay.
one.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So just know that. Okay.
All right.
Back to
Good
the matter
to
at hand.
Good to know. Good to know. Okay. So today, being Thanksgiving week, we're going to talk about family. And we're going to talk about not taking your family for granted. And the extraordinary value of keeping your family intact and tightly connected, which may sound like an unnecessary thing to say, except that it is highly necessary to say, because as we progress, we think we're progressing in the ways of life that we are living, as we become more and more aligned with our identities and the things that make us different, we are, to my observation, more and more willing to cut ties with family members in the name of being aligned with our belief system, our political system, our social strata. So, for example, what started to happen under the Trump presidency is now a given, it seems, in the way families interact with one another. So that Thanksgiving has become a bit of a test of tolerance for what certain family members will put up with from other family members. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember when Trump first got into office, there was the whole thing about, well, let's not talk politics at the table. Don't bring up Trump. Don't wear a MAGA hat to Thanksgiving. If you do, you're not welcome here, et cetera. And families started to talk about...
Don't wear a MAGA hat to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Really, in general, you shouldn't wear any hat to Thanksgiving. Yeah, definitely the MAGA hat will divide people.
But turkey hats are accepted. I like turkey hats.
Yes, if you want to dress like a turkey, I guess that's okay. somehow couldn't bear someone who was pro-Trump, or couldn't bear someone who was anti-Trump, your Thanksgiving started to come apart. And when this first happened, people were writing stories about it. A new challenge to the American family, politics that were ripping them apart at the dinner table. Now, it's become like a norm. Instead of that being an oddball thing, now every year, whether it's over, well, people are still arguing over Donald Trump, but now they're arguing over Joe Biden. They're arguing over the immigration policies. They're arguing over COVID-19 and the vaccine and whether it works or whether it doesn't work, whether everybody should have it or everybody shouldn't have it. And there are people who say, you're not welcome in my home if you're not vaccinated. And don't even think of coming to Thanksgiving if you haven't gotten a booster shot. And there's all these external influences that are ripping at the fabric of our families And the once unthinkable is now commonplace. Mm-hmm. I'm reading a statistic that says at least 27% of Americans, that's more than one in four, are estranged from a member of their own family. And research suggests that 40% of Americans, that's almost half, have experienced estrangement at least at some point. Maybe they got back together. But
that number, 27 to me seemed low. That's funny. But I get the 40% makes more sense, at some point that they were estranged.
Yeah.
Because it's very high.
People do sometimes make up with one another. There's a Cornell University sociologist who wrote a book about this called Fault Lines, Fractured Families and How to Mend Them, and talks about the estrangement. Mm. 27% of Americans 18 and older had cut off contact with a family member. That translates to about 67 million people nationally. And the author of the book says that's probably an understatement because a lot of people don't want to admit that they're having that rift. And that's probably right. When you take a poll or something like that, it's, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say that I am. And of that, by the way, of 1,300 people that the author surveyed, 10% said they were estranged from a parent or a child. So it's a parent-child relationship, 8% from siblings, 9% from extended family members, including cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, nieces, and nephews. Now, what are the reasons for this? Well, each situation involves something different. Sometimes they have to do with the history of issues between parent and child. Sometimes it has to do with tensions with in-laws, when you blend families together. Sometimes it has to do with money. Sometimes it has to do with inheritances. I can't tell you how many families have come apart or aren't having Thanksgiving this year together because of fights over inheritance money. Business deals.
Even death in families. We've talked about this before. When somebody dies, it can really split people up just the way the death was handled, just the way you wanted her in hospice, you didn't want her in hospice, families fight, they never speak again. It's horrifying.
Well, there's a lot of that. And the situation, this author says, involves a breakdown of family bonds coupled with bad communication. Bad communication. Mm-hmm. So that feuds that have been going on for a long time suddenly have that catastrophic event, the big one, the big blow up. Mm-hmm. You know what? I've never liked you. I knew it. I knew it. I never told you before, but I've never liked you. I knew it. I felt that my whole life. Whatever it is that you've been hanging on to
for your
whole life. Yeah, you knew. I knew it. I've been trying to prove it. And sometimes you just push somebody. You push them and push them and push them until they have no choice almost but to scream out exactly what you have been fearing they would say.
Right.
You almost push them to tell you that they hate you. And then you say, I knew it. I knew you hated me. And then the family is blown up. Now,
and then people take sides too, by the way.
That's
then it can,
right.
I'm just going to say, if two people are fractured, it can end up splintering and fracturing others because of that one relationship failing.
That's right. Now, there's a wonderful movie that I highly suggest you take a look at during Thanksgiving week. There are many Christmas movies, too many to count, but there are not very many Thanksgiving movies. And I know there's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's a good one on its own merit, but doesn't serve our purpose for this. Although there is a message there, even in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, about the importance of family. Do you remember that film with John Candy and Steve Martin?
Yeah, I love that.
And they're both supposedly trying to get home to their families. except that John Candy's wife died and he's pretending that he has a family. And he's kind of desperate and clingy to Steve Martin, who really does have a family and really wants to get home to his wife and kids. But the planes and the trains and the automobiles keep breaking down and whatever. And John Candy has this positive attitude about it all. Oh, well, we'll just do this. And Steve Martin can't wait to get home and doesn't understand how this guy can be so cheery. But really what's happening is John Candy is making a connection with Steve Martin. He is his kind of family. He's hanging on to him through thick and thin because he doesn't have anybody else to spend Thanksgiving with. And at the culmination of that film, when Steve Martin, when they finally part after these 2 days of, you know, just incredible travel accidents and craziness, and their car blows up and car catches on fire, and, you know, the plane is grounded and the train doesn't run and they have to walk and lift their bags and through mud and all this stuff. He sees him sitting by himself at the last stop that he dropped him off, and he realizes he doesn't have anybody. And so the ultimate message, and he invites him to come be with his family, which is the last thing that you would expect him to do because they hate each other so much. That is the problem that we're talking about here in reverse. That is where you don't like somebody initially, and yet you see the humanity in them and the importance of a human connection, and you end up making a connection with them and inviting them to Thanksgiving, and your Thanksgiving gets bigger.
Yep.
I'm talking about Thanksgivings that are getting smaller, gatherings that are getting lighter and decreasing in attendance. And this is happening more and more as these estrangements become more of the norm. So the film that I was talking about originally is called Avalon, and it's done by Barry Levinson. And it's part of his series that there was a movie, Tin Men, and other ones where he has these guys about life in diner. It's kind of life in Baltimore back during a time. And he chronicles several families that live together in the city, in New York, in Baltimore, during the late 40s, early 50s. And how close they are. And it's every Thanksgiving. They show all these different Thanksgivings. And they're all together. They're immigrants and whatever. And they're literally on top of one another in these row houses. And grandparents living with the grandkids and uncles and aunts living alongside. And everybody on top of one another. And yet they're extremely close. Do they argue? Yes. Do they fight? Yes. Do they, you know, hurl the insults and tell the same stories? Yes, absolutely. But they are a family. And as the movie goes on and time passes and they get into the late 50s and then into the early 60s and then to late 60s, you see how the family starts to disintegrate and they want to move out to the suburbs. And then they're no longer in the same house. They have houses that are 20 minutes away from one another. And then some of them stay in the city and some of them out in the suburbs. And they get mad at one another because they take too long to get there. You know, and there's this penultimate moment where the older relative, older uncle or whatever from the old country, he's late. Him and his wife are late. And they're always late for Thanksgiving and always late for Thanksgiving. And the family says, that's it. We're not waiting anymore. Cut the turkey. Cut the turkey. We're not waiting for them. They can't be able to cut the turkey. And so they cut the turkey and they start eating. And then the door opens and in comes this, sorry, we're late. You know, they have the accent from the old country. We're late. Sorry, we're late. And the look on the guy's face, the old man's face, he looks and he sees they're eating.
Yeah.
And he says, you cut the turkey without us? They're leaving, you know, and he turns around and he leaves. And, you know, they argue and they say, but you're always late. You're always so late. You cut the turkey without us. You know, and he leaves and they march off and they never come back. They never come back. And it's funny, but it's tragic that over something like that, a family splinters. And by the end of the movie, you see the only one, they show one of the sons in this whole story, and he's eating with his wife and his two kids at a little table with the television on. And that's what Thanksgiving has become, or that's what their meals have become. All the families are gone. They've become estranged. They've died. They've moved away. And they just have this. So the beginning of the movie is countless people at a meal. And the end of the movie is four people with the television on.
At a table. Yeah.
And this is emblematic of where we're going in this country and how the family units are breaking down. So much so that there are parties out there that just think that the family is a bad idea. And traditional concepts of a mother and father and children, we should do away with that. And we should just recognize that, you know, we're all a village. Well, I guess that's one way of looking at life. I don't look at it that way.
Well, you know,
and Maury did not look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Maury did not look at it that way. And when Maury was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease, he spoke to me very clearly about how you realize when your time is limited, the preciousness of family. Listen to him talking about that.
The fact is, there is no foundation, no secure ground upon which people to stand now if it isn't in the family. Nobody, not much in the society or in the workplace or in the culture is going to hold, is going to support you. And if you don't have that support and love and caring and concern in the family, I don't think you have very much. And it's become quite clear to me. Say I was divorced or living alone or something. I would have probably lots of friends coming in. It's not the same thing as having somebody in the house all the time, knowing that this person has an eye on you, so to speak. Knowing that it's there makes a big difference. And it's very true, I think, for my kids, you know? And they know if they get in trouble, we're here for them, knowing that there are those people there who have your concern very much at heart. You must have that in your own family. You know that they'll be there. So indeed, if you don't create that, I think you're going to be in trouble in this culture.
Mm-hmm. There is no security in any other form of life, like the family, as Maury said there. And this is something that we are too quick to throw away in these increased estrangements that we are willing to allow happen.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav bros.
Good job.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I know you wanted to say something before, Lisa. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just a different thing. Like, you know, there's other factors at play, too. Like when you lose your parents, and sometimes when that core disappears, right. I think it makes the rest of it disintegrate a little bit, too. So maybe all of these other issues come to the surface where they wouldn't have when you had the matriarch and the patriarch of the family to hold down that fort.
The fort, yeah.
You know? I mean, I think about all my uncles and my mom and my dad, and they're all gone. And it's heartbreaking to me when there's a family gathering because they're not there anymore.
Right.
You know, it's so hard.
And you make a really excellent point. And for many years, I can relate this in my own life. So for many years, our family, my parents, they hosted Thanksgiving. This was in Philadelphia. At one point, they did it in their very large apartment that they had. And at one point, they even had a farm that they owned for a period of time. And one of the biggest reasons they got this little farm, it wasn't we weren't raising cattle. It was, just a little property. But one of the reasons they got it was for Thanksgiving. So that every Thanksgiving we could host, because we had, 40 some odd people would come for Thanksgiving every year. And it really was important to my parents. And for all my childhood and my early 20s, my parents, that's where you went for Thanksgiving. And we all gathered there for Thanksgiving. Then I bought a house in Michigan. And once I, met my wife, my mom came to me one year and she said, "It's time for you to take over Thanksgiving." Mm. And I said, no. Thanksgiving's at your house. We come to you for Thanksgiving. She said, "No, you need to take this over now." And I said, "Why? You guys are fine." She goes, "Because we're not always going to be. And if people don't get used to coming to your place now, then when we go, suddenly there's going to be, who's going to take it over? That's a good excuse." She said, "People will use it as an excuse to stop the tradition because my parents, Ira and Rhoda were their names, they're not here anymore. So we don't do it anymore." So she was basically handing the baton off before she ran out of gas. You know, while she was still capable of running, handing the baton but saying, "You can run farther than I can. You take it now so that people get used to it being with you." And it has been with us now almost 30 years. And the tradition of all those people coming.
You have a blowout, too.
Yeah, we have a big blowout and people come.
It's a big blowout.
But I will say that it becomes a challenge every year as time goes on. And COVID has been a great excuse for people who maybe weren't crazy about going to their Thanksgivings in the first place, to suddenly say, "Well, we don't feel safe or we don't want to take the risk." So last year, was the first year that we didn't have the blowout Thanksgiving. Because you remember where we were last year in the the pandemic. You know, there was no vaccine and we were in the thick of it. And in fact, they were telling you can't have Thanksgiving. You can't have more than 10 people at your table or whatever. I think we had 10. We were pushed right at the limit. This year, though, I'm noticing that there are people who are saying, it's still kind of dangerous, even though everybody's vaccinated now and boosted even, and there wouldn't be anybody at our place who isn't vaccinated. But it's being used as an excuse for a number of people not coming, and maybe it's legitimate. But
is it travel too? Like, do
well,
people fly
I think
in
yeah,
for this?
I think it's all of that. Yeah, but that's mm-hmm. the thing is that inconvenience is always going to be there when it comes to mm-hmm. doing Thanksgiving. And if the idea of keeping your family intact is not a paramount principle for you in your life, then real life will make it very easy for you to lose that and to drop it, because there's just too many good excuses, too many reasons why it's, you know, it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's not safe, we have the baby, we have to work the next day. There's so many reasons why. But the thing is, as you heard Maury say, there will be nothing in your life that will give you the sense of security and the sense of belonging as your family. Mm-hmm. And if you don't defend that rigorously, doggedly, if you don't fight to keep your family together, despite all the challenges and things that might be legitimate reasons why people don't want to hang out with one another anymore, then you are going to lose the most precious human commodity that you have, your sense of connection. And I always say to people who say, well, we're not doing Thanksgiving this year. Frank's side of the family is all pro-conservative, and I just can't deal with that. And I want to say, really? You can't deal with the fact that some people have different political views as you, and you would rather sacrifice the connection to your family than have to listen to somebody say something that you don't agree with? Now, mm-hmm. in our Thanksgivings in the old days, when I used to have aunts and uncles from, you know, the old country, and from varied parts of the country and varied backgrounds, mm-hmm. they argued all the time. They argued over politics, they argued over business, they argued over the world, and what they didn't. What I remember most is not the agreements, but the arguments.
Yeah.
But no one would have ever thought of not being there. No one would have ever thought, well, I'm not coming anymore because I don't like your opinions. Mm-hmm. But today, when we live in this world where there's this concept of my safety and my comfort, it is the most important thing, and I don't want to be around thoughts that threaten me, particularly on college campuses. We see this all the time. Kids saying, you know, I don't feel safe because someone expressed an opinion that disturbs me. I don't feel safe because someone's wearing a Halloween costume that offends me. When we are so easily offended, so easily made uncomfortable, and we think that our right to be comfortable is more important than the connection that a family provides, then it's going to be very easy to say, I'm not eating with that person. He voted for blah, blah, blah. And there goes your family. There goes your family. And to me, I say, you're going to lose that kid that you grew up with who wore the pajamas with the footies and played tag with you in your room and ran up and down the steps during Christmas and you know, you beat up when you were younger and you shared an ice cream cone and you giggled and you laughed and you fought and you did all that, all those things that brothers and sisters do with one another, and you're going to sacrifice them because you don't like the attitude that they have on a political issue, an economic issue, a racial issue, whatever. So you're going to just throw all that out because your principles are so important to you. I don't get that. Because people who act like that, I want to say to them, what about the principle of family?
Yeah.
That is a principle, that those who are related to you are part of your connection. You share their blood. You share their history. You need to celebrate that connection and nurture that connection. Water it like a plant. You need to keep that going so that your kids have that connection. A lot of people don't feel that way. It's like, so I was raised in the same house as them. So what? That word doesn't mean anything, sister. That word doesn't mean anything, brother. I don't care if that guy's my uncle. He's an idiot. There goes your family.
Yeah.
There goes your family. Is that really what you want to lose your family over?
Yeah, it's really, you know what's funny though? In my family, as you're talking about this, I'm trying to remember the things that my family fought about. And I don't ever recall them talking about politics. Either they did and I just was too young or didn't realize that what politics were or anything like that. But, you know, my mom always would say when we were young, you know, don't talk about politics with friends. Don't talk about religion. Mm-hmm. Like those were the two things, you know, but our family was all the same religion. So that didn't, you know, that didn't ever come into play. But I'm certain that there were people of different political persuasions in our family.
Right.
But we're all friends.
Right.
Ish.
Well, you're all family first. And in this book that I cited, the author writes, I learned that people who are estranged from a family member feel deep sadness, long for reconnection, and wish that they could turn back the clock and act differently to prevent the rift. So isn't that interesting that those who are estranged end up feeling sad about it and longing for reconnection, and yet many of them don't do it because they can't bring themselves to apologize or they can't bring themselves to compromise. There can be no compromising on their safety and their safe space and their political views and their identity. Among those who were able to reconcile, the author said, almost all employed one strategy. They abandoned the need for the estranged relative to accept their version of the past and to apologize. They instead focused on the present and future of the relationship. So again, if you are estranged from somebody and you want to end it, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. As Maury said, let it go. Whatever your issues are with somebody, you won't care when you get to the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
All you'll care is that they're there with you. You can hold their hand. You can tell them how much you love them. You don't want to have that cut off because of some silly fight over a Thanksgiving table, some silly political disagreement, some silly philosophical or identity issue that you say, well, I won't stand for that. I won't put up with that. And you walked. When you reach the end of your life, as Maury did, you want your family around you. They give you a sense of connection and comfort. And you, in order to assure that that will happen at the end, you've got to put in the time with them in the middle. You've got to be making those concessions and placing the continuity of your family in the highest regard. It needs to be a priority. And this week of all weeks, Thanksgiving, revel in the familial embrace that you get at a Thanksgiving table where there's no presents involved or anything. It's just food, conversation, and love. Revel in that and ask yourself, do I really get this elsewhere? Do I have a history or a past? Can I tell the old stories with the new hip people that I'm hanging out with that make me feel so important? Because people will come and go in your life. Your family, they're there forever if you allow them to be. That can be a wonderful thing. So don't lose that connection. Don't become estranged. Don't put your principles or your politics or whatever over the fact that love of family is an important principle.
Yep.
Continuity of family is an important principle. My mother knew what she was doing when she said, you need to take this over now so that it doesn't die.
Yep.
Yeah, she was really smart in that way. And hopefully there are wise people in your families as well as we celebrate this amazing day. We have a lot to be grateful for, folks. A lot. Even those of us with very little, compared to so many other people in the world, we still have so much to be grateful for. And it's good to have a day that's the focus.
Yep.
So enjoy
I'm
your Thanksgiving.
I'm grateful for
you. As I am for you and for this podcast, Lisa. And we're grateful for all of you who are listening. So
oh,
until
yes,
we see
for
you
sure.
again, We really want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, a gentle and loving and familial Thanksgiving. Recognize the importance of your connections and eat a lot. So on behalf of Lisa Goich, I'm Mitch Albom, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and saying see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday People.